Blog Talk Radio.
Ryan's Corner. In-depth interviews with singers, songwriters, and other artists. Now, here is your host, Ryan Cole.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ryan's Corner. I am your host, Ryan Cole. And with me today is a fabulous singer-songwriter by the name of Miss Melissa Bailey. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you. Well, you know, people know me as Melissa B, but
Melissa B.
B. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I want to also let everybody know that she has a new EP out called Exclusively that's available on iTunes and Amazon, and you can also check out her website, MelissaB.com.
Yes.
How did you come up with that title for the EP?
Exclusively?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was having a conversation with my producer, B. Howard, and he saw me with something. It was a picture I had, and he was like, He's like, you know, that's what you should name your EP that comes out exclusively. I said, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. You make it exclusively for them. I was like, okay. So that's what I went with.
A little inside information for people.
Yeah.
I want to ask you the question that I always start out with whenever I interview somebody, and that is, how did you first get interested in music?
I've always been interested in music. I started when I was 5 years old. My parents used to see me, you know, singing around the house, and my dad was like, you want to take piano lessons? And I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Meanwhile, my teacher came back to my dad and was like, this girl does not want to do piano lessons. She is in the corner singing. All she wants to do is sing all day long. So my teacher was like, you really need to pay attention because she wants to sing. So what happened was when I was 14, I was at church when I lived in Hawaii. And a woman came up to me and she was like, have you ever done a pageant before? And I was like, a pageant, you know, I never heard of a pageant before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought beauty pageant. I was like, I'm not a beauty queen, so I'm not good. This woman was like, it's not a beauty pageant, it's a talent pageant. I was like, oh, that's intriguing, you know. So I would be, Ryan, my parents really didn't know about my singing until I did my very first pageant. They really didn't recognize my talent. Like, my parents knew I could sing, but they really didn't realize it till they actually saw me on stage.
Were they blown away?
Yeah. I actually won my first pageant at 14.
Oh, wow.
I won it. I was Miss Talented Teen Hawaii, Hal Jackson's Talented Teen Hawaii. Oh. And then my dad's like, you know, I won a trip to L.A. and everything, and it was so interesting. I was around all these girls from around the world, and they're all so talented. And everybody kept talking about this young 14-year-old, Miss Hawaii. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I don't think read into it. You know, and all these girls were scared of me. And I was like, what are they scared of me for? I didn't do anything, you know. I'm just here to sing. And it's just, you know, I've always, ever since I was little, and this is with something that's resonated in me. I've always just felt like when I was five, I said, I want people to feel my vibration. I'm here for people to feel my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have something to heal the world. I want to heal the world with my voice, with my music, with my songs, with my voice. And that's what I feel. That's what happened. I've never stopped wanting to sing since I was five.
I think that's true of a lot of singers. They always feel a need to sing. That's why a lot of artists never retire. People say retire, but they look at you like you're crazy.
Music is, you can't even describe it when you're in it. That's why, like, you know, very healing. That's why they say music is healing. Mm-hmm. If music does do something to you. Like, if you hear my, like you know, because obviously I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. Anybody who knows me knows that. But would you want to know why I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan? Because
why?
Michael Jackson was not, he was not of the norm. He, you know, he was a perfectionist. He, everything he did, even with music, if you really look at the stuff that he did, he, it was very, very smart, the things he did. He utilized his platform. He was a spiritual guide in a way. He would help people spiritually through music.
Mm-hmm.
Heal the world, man in the mirror. You know, I could go on and on. You know, Ben, a song about a rat. But when you hear the damn song, you want to cry.
I think it's the emotion. Mm-hmm.
It's the emotion. But it's the meaning behind the words,
mm-hmm.
you know? And also at his young age, do you realize at his young age he was able to touch people with his voice? Not a lot of people mm-hmm. could do that. It was like you. People say he was like an old soul. He definitely was, and he had a message. And his message was healing the world, saving the children, and loving each other and loving yourself.
I think that's why he was able to cross over from being a child star to, you know, an actually grown-up star, is because he had this special gift.
He was worldly.
Mm-hmm.
He was a worldly artist. And that's where I, for myself, that's where I feel I'm a worldly artist. And that's, I go across all genres, just like him, you know?
Were there
Whitney
any
Houston
other...
was just like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was big time international. And she would touch
Whitney
everybody.
Houston. Exactly. And it hurt people's heart, you know, when they saw that she God gave her a gift and they felt like she, you know, God giveth and taketh away, they say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they felt like people were hurt because they're like, God gave you this voice that you're supposed to be healing people with. And she abused it.
Mm-hmm.
And she even admitted that, even when she had her interview with Oprah, I remember watching that, and she said she wasn't taking care of herself, and she just felt like, why me? Why did I have this, you know? But
mm-hmm.
you never ask those questions. You do. That's what God wants you to do. You're his instrument. You're supposed to do these things, you know? I'm a small little pea in the pod, but I'm a huge instrument to God. That's how I feel. We are all instruments. We are all here to heal in some way, to help everybody else.
And you can see the how they're healing everybody when you watch, if people check out Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston's live performances, like concert performances on YouTube, you can see all the fan reaction. They're like go crazy and they start crying.
Yeah.
Not too many artists get that kind of reaction.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. You don't see artists doing that. They're not artists. Some artists are not tuning into where they're supposed to be tuning into, the godly-like self.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be tuning in to give back. You're supposed to give back, you know?
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know if you heard, you know, on my EP, on the exclusively EP, if you listen to the song Maria, when
mm-hmm.
I sing that song and we wrote it, that song was about my mother and my grandmother, right? And it was about, and it's about how you notice how children can basically they repeat history. A girl can see her mother going through things in life, and she'll repeat the same thing that goes on from her mother's life into her life, be it drug abuse, be it battered wife, all those things. And it needs to stop.
I think we've all seen that happen time and time again.
Yeah, but it ends with you. And that's what the song is about. Every woman is Maria. That's what Maria is about. And when people hear, I've had women listen to my song and I performed it live, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally had women come up to me crying or say to them, oh my God, you made me remember my mother, or that made me feel like I was Maria. And I say to them, but you are Maria. That's what the song is about. Women are powerful. You know, the empowerment of women is very important. And people and women nowadays have really lost that. They've lost the respect. They've lost that. And they need, and that's why I write these songs, because I want women to remember how beautiful and how powerful they are, and not to downgrade themselves, and realize that you can be smart and beautiful and be all these things, but you don't have to downgrade yourself or degrade yourself just so that you could get attention. You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. That had to be a good feeling to know that one of your songs has reached out and touched so many people.
When I see people physically in my face and they're telling me, and I see the tears coming down their eyes, then I know, I say to myself, ah, I got you.
Oh.
I've done it.
That is so powerful. Such a powerful message. I want to take a quick little break here, because I actually want to play for everybody the song Maria, so they can see what we're talking about.
Okay, great. Yes.
We'll take a little break here, and we'll be right back with Melissa B.
In the night she prays to God, hoping for a better life and better days ahead. She smiles, staying strong, even through all the pain, thinking all the blame. She keeps moving on. Do you even wonder what she's going through? Have you taken time to beauty shine through? She never asked for too much. All that she ever wanted was affection and true love. Do you really know what Maria goes through? What Maria goes through? Do you no matter what he did, she stayed true. So unfaithful, but she loved him. She had a sacrifice to try to make it right. She did what she had to do. There were so many lonely nights, it became a struggle. She really didn't know what to do. When she looked into, she fell right down and made up
And that was the song Maria off Melissa B's album called Exclusively, which is available now on iTunes and Amazon. Such a powerful mm-hmm. song, Melissa.
Yeah. You know, love I was crying it. In the booth the whole time I recorded that.
I can imagine. There's so much feeling and power behind it.
Yeah.
What's your songwriting? Do you hear
the lyrics on that when I said, do you see her smile? That means, like, you know when a man, you know, like when a woman goes through so much, I'm just asking the man, simply, do you see the most beautiful thing that's so simple? It's her smile.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes through all of that just for you, did you even pay attention to when she smiles at you? Woo! That's deep.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of acknowledgement.
Woo! You're going to make me cry, Ryan.
I thought I was the only person that noticed that, you know, like women or men sometimes too can do so much, you know, just so much for the other person. And all they want is just a little bit of acknowledgement, just something. It doesn't, you know, like a smile or a thank you or something, and they never get it.
A hug or something.
Yeah, something.
You know, it's like, you know, you give your heart to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give your heart to people, and people just, everybody wants to be acknowledged just for something, anything, even if it's a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But at least tell the person that you love them and you thank them, because that goes a long way, a million miles away for them in their
okay.
life. You know? Yeah. I've
been there, bought the t-shirt, did that.
Yeah.
What's your songwriting process like when you're creating your songs?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know. It comes from God. You know, it's like okay. Here's one. When I was writing "Breathe" with B. Howard, he, you know, and I thank him so much all the time, but. I was in the booth, and he closed the door on me, and he was like, you're going to sit in here, and you're going to write.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to write about. And he was like, well, start writing. You know, it's like, you know, I thank him because he pushed me. You know, he's like, you got to do it. Like, you don't think about it. It'll come to you. And he was so right because when I wrote Breathe, I automatically, when I started listening to the music, I was actually thinking about my father, about when he was taking his last breath in life. And when I was writing, I was saying to myself, oh, what was he thinking when he was taking his last breath? And what was he seeing? When I say the tunnel of life, right, the vision, the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You see the tunnel and everything goes through you like, are you automatically thinking about everything in your life flashing before your eyes when you're breathing, right? And then
mm-hmm.
I said, ooh, what happens when a child is born? They take their first breath.
Oh.
Right? So it's like one soul leaves, but one soul enters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
While you're breathing, in the middle of your moment, when you're dying, someone else is coming into this world.
So powerful. I'm getting chills right now because everything that you're saying sounds like a poem that I wrote. So I'm like, oh my
wow.
God. It's so weird.
Wow. We're in sync.
I know.
That's a good thing. That's one thing about me you'll learn. I'm very spiritual, you know, and it's very important. You know, I love to let people know how great they are. That's me. That's how I am. And I'm the type of person, I do so much sometimes, I overextend myself, and my friends have to tell me, Melissa, you got to slow down. Because
mm-hmm.
you know? Sometimes I feel like, you know, there's not enough time.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't know why. I hate that feeling. Well, it's like I got to accomplish so much. I want to accomplish so much in such a little time.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that you can't be like that, or you're going to run yourself to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You have to take time for yourself.
Yeah, so I'm just being me. You know, being
that's
me.
The best
I have
thing
to protect
do.
My temple. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got to protect the temple. You know, and you got to do those things. Like you and I were just talking, like your whole thing going on with me. I just stopped coffee, cold turkey, right? Why did I do that? Because I'm realizing that I'm abusing my temple. I'm not really taking care of my temple the way I should be. So, you know, to stop it, I have to just stop it cold turkey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, what
and I'm still abusing my temple. Still got the coffee.
But the point is that, you know, when we were talking, your question is, you know, it's like my writing process and everything like that. It's like, you know, it's a spiritual thing, you know, and really... before I started getting into my music and writing, you know, a long time ago, it took a while for me to write sometimes. I remember when I was like 16, I remember there was a song I wrote called Stop. What was it? It was like, you only one chance to live, give it all you got. Like, when I was 16 years old, I'm sorry. Talking about the roses, stop and smell the roses of life. That's what I was writing at 16. And the words I said was, don't be blind, watch your time, because it will pass you by. You got to stop and smell the roses of life.
Now those are some good lines right there.
At 16 years old, I was writing stuff like that. And then I stopped, you know, and then my dad passed away, you know, like 10 years ago. Wow, it's been that long. And, you know, let me tell you something. When you lose someone in your life, it's very, very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, to the soul and to the mind and to the body. And it took me, do you know, Ryan, I literally stopped singing for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stopped singing for 2 years. And I remember how I got back into it was I started working with my job. And they had no idea about me. They didn't know I was on American Idol. I was on Star Search. Any of this stuff, right? I was like keeping myself low. I was literally like Clark Kent, you know. Here's this girl geek. You know, I'm a network engineer by day, singer by night. But nobody knew that I'd be singing in my house and writing. And I was just like this little girl in the corner. And then one day my friends were like, "Hey, let's go to karaoke, right?" So I was just watching everybody. And just something in me just was like, you need to get back into singing. Go up there and sing, right?
Oh, Lord.
And I was like, I said, okay. This is my spirit talking. So I got up there. Let me tell you, Ryan, when I came back off the stage, all of my friends' mouths were, you know, like when you look at some, when everybody's mouths is dropped.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking at them like, what's wrong? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what are you doing? You don't need to be here. You need to be on stage. And I said, well, I love technology. They were like, no. We are not going to let this happen. Oh, no. So then all my friends at work were pushing me to sing, like pushing, you need to do music, Melissa, every day. Melissa, what's going on? Are you doing music, Melissa? And I was like, oh, my God.
Giving
and
you
I was
the
like,
push.
Okay, yeah, and that's when. It's, and I'm telling you, it's like a fairy tale story for me because it's like, you know, I met Brent B. Howard on the internet. Okay, I asked the man to produce my work, and it took him a while to like really come around to say, okay, you know, he had to be the one. He had to check out things and, you know, check out my potential, my music and stuff. And he was like, okay, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I was so happy that he took the chance to work with me. And I've learned so much from him that I grew, you know, and I'm still growing as an artist.
Well, you two have created some amazing work so far.
Yeah, well, Breathe is the one that he produced.
I know, it's such a great song.
He's magical, too. He's magical. He's definitely, I could tell stories for days, you know, in the studio with him and my engineer, Michael. I mean, there's a song we have called Be Free that we put out with DJ Spin, and it's about being yourself, being free. Like, keep the colors flying. Ain't no time for crying. You gotta be free. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, worrying about what everybody else thinks about you. You gotta be yourself. No matter if you're gay, you're straight, whatever. It doesn't matter. God loves you for who you are. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It only matters what God thinks.
I was just thinking about that.
Tell me, Ryan.
I was having a conversation with one of my friends the other day about that, because I was telling them, I'm one of those people that likes to sit there and just people watch, you know, watch people's actions and reactions to things.
Yeah.
And I started to notice that a lot of people, it was like they were pretending to be somebody else or something that they weren't. And I just sat there and thought to myself, that's an awful way to go through life, not being yourself. I just found that interesting.
Exactly. It mind boggles me when I see record labels, right? Like, because we're talking music, we're talking spirituality, we're talking everything here.
Mm-hmm.
When I see artists that are coming out now, it's like I'm a little bit lost.
Mm-hmm.
Of them, like, who are you? Like, who do you want to be? The next Rihanna? Do you want to be the next Beyonce? Or are you going to bring us something that's of something new? We don't need the next Michael Jackson. He's did that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the next Michael. We don't need the next Whitney Houston. You see what I'm saying? We don't need the next Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it. We need the next. That's what we need.
I think that might be why Adele was so big. Because she was so different than a lot of people, you know, because now you've got, like, Lady Gaga and, you know, all
and
these
Amy
artists
Winehouse.
That are,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that are, like, people like Lady Gaga, you know, that are going out on stage in all these costumes and everything. And then you've got Amy Winehouse and Adele that just, you know, showed up, stood in front of the mic and sang, and that was it. And that's all they needed to do because, you know, their work was enough.
Yeah.
I think that's why they were so big. There was something fresh and new.
Yeah. Hmm. Absolutely.
Little piece of advice for all the up-and-comers out there. Be yourself. Do your own thing.
You know who said that? You know who actually said that? It was Sam Smith. When he won his Grammy, he said, I finally got it. He was like, I realized I had to be me. He was like, He goes, you don't understand. I've been in this industry for years, and you guys didn't pay attention to me. Record labels try to tell me to be this, to be that, and every time I would fail, I finally just decided, damn it, I'm going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Being you works. That's why when people say, who is Melissa B? I am me. That's who I am. I'm a girl geek technology girl who loves music, whose the passion is music, but also I live in the technology world that we live in right now, which is cyberpop, our cyberpop culture. Just like hip-hop culture, we have a cyberpop culture. That's what we live in. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, everything, Instagram, all of that is cyberpop culture. We live inside the matrix. We live in the computer world. So why don't we just tag it as it should be called?
You were mentioning Girl Geek there, and that reminded me that you're also a little bit of an activist because you have your own nonprofit, right?
I have a nonprofit organization. I'm one of the directors with two other people. Yeah. actually started over in the UK. It was called Girl Geek Dinners in the UK. And the woman that actually started, her name is Sarah Blow, and she was a programmer, and she was going to Guy Geek dinners. And every time she went to these dinners, she was always like, okay, I'm going to go to these dinners, and I think some girls are going to show up. Never a woman would show up.
Oh.
She was like, this is not good. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to start a dinner. So she started a dinner, and all of a sudden all these women started showing up. She goes, okay. Then all of a sudden women started hearing about it. So she was writing about it around the world. And then it started in South Africa. It started in Japan. It started in Brazil. I mean, it went everywhere. And guess what, Ryan?
What?
They did not have one in New York. Can you believe that?
The biggest city in the world, and they didn't have one?
Like,
kind of shocking.
This is the greatest opportunity. So I was at lunch with one of my girlfriends and who worked with me. She was a programmer, Emily, and Jennifer Drew. Jennifer was a creative artist. She did a lot of the, pictures and all that kind of stuff, marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, have you ever felt like we're the only women in technology? Like, there's no, where are you going to find them? Where is there a community where we can talk to other women who are in what we do? And they were like sitting there looking at me like, I don't know. And I was like, I found it. We need to start Girl Geek Dinners in New York City. Nobody's done it. And that's what we did. And all of a sudden it just went from that to we were getting Google and Microsoft, you know, hitting us up, talking about, oh, we want to sponsor your dinners. And it went from that to I was able to actually speak at Google and talk about Girl Geek. The trials and tribulations of a girl geek.
Oh.
You know, I'm living in two worlds. I'm living in the technology world and I'm living in the music world. And it's male-dominant world. Both worlds are male-dominant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot imagine how both in parallel are both exactly the same and how we women have to be. We have to actually be strong enough to withstand to be within this man's world. You know,
you can
they
accomplish
don't want
so
women.
Much
they
the
don't.
Community.
They don't. Yeah, but they don't want women to be in technology. And I applaud Obama for what he's trying to do. You know, with the whole thing about you know the 2 years of community college for free, and also he just started a technology program. You know, for people who want to get in technology. You know, and I'm telling you, like if more women would get in technology. I'm telling you, the way the technology is now, it would just get even better.
Ugh. Well, you know, they say women make everything better, so I'm on that bandwagon.
I just feel like feminine energy, feminine think, you know, women think, we think completely different than men, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Oh, no.
People shouldn't get mad about it. It's just, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we give life. We give birth to children. Why wouldn't a woman think differently?
I always thought
I'm
it was so...
philosophical here.
Oh, no. You're totally right, because when you look at it's men sort of have this... mindset, you know, where they want to have a fight or something. You know, if somebody's coming at them with something, they want to come back, they want to fight, they want to do something. Whereas women are more, you know, like, let's talk it out, let's figure it out, let's, you know, do something. And that's why when people thought, oh, women can't run a country or something, and then you see all
they're
these
wrong.
Women that are running countries and doing a very good job at it, people are shocked, and it's like, why are you so shocked? They just have a different style, and it seems to work.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's the other thing, like, for me, for kids, like, growing up, going to college, I didn't see women in technology. Like, I didn't see a lot of women. I didn't have anybody that could mentor me. The only person that could mentor me was my father, because my father was an IT director, and my father was in technology since I was a kid. You know, I would take his DOS books and go on his computer and try to figure out how to break his computer, and it would drive him crazy.
You were a little
tech
geek.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been like that. Like, you know, computers intrigue me. They really do. You know, just the way things are. And, you know, even with applications and programming and all that kind of stuff, you know, technology is, you know, it's a very mysterious thing. I love it. It's great.
So great. I want to take a little break here because I want to play for everybody. I believe it's your first single off the album called Breathe.
Yeah,
I want to give everyone a little taste of that for everybody. So
okay.
we'll be right back with Melissa B right after this. And that was the song Breathe off Melissa B's album exclusively, which is available now on iTunes and Amazon. Love that song. I just want to dance and dance to it. I actually did the other day. I was sitting there cleaning my room and I was listening to it with the earbuds in my ear dancing around. I was like, thank God nobody can see me right now.
I gotta give you the remix of that, the remix of Breathe before it comes out. You'll hear
That I'm one of those idiots. Well, I don't want to say idiot, but I'm one of those people that has to listen to music while I'm cleaning. And I probably
Me
get
too
much
get
into the
moving,
music
right?
and I forget the cleaning.
Yep, I get you. I feel you. Yep.
Otherwise, it's just boring. I don't know. I know some people, might like my mom, she can just clean with nothing going on. She's fine. But I can't do that. I've got to have music or something going on.
Yeah, me too. Music gets me moving. I cannot clean without music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
Ugh. Good, I'm not weird.
No, you're not. I thought I was.
Oh, well, if we're weird together. It's okay.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you, what's been the biggest struggle for you so far, either in music or life or anything?
Biggest struggle? Saying no.
Oh.
Saying no.
One of my other
guests said the same
thing.
Because I always want to help
everybody. Mm-hmm.
I always want to help people. You know, and I always see the good in people. Until you, you know, show me that otherwise. But I always believe in giving everybody a chance in my life.
I think it might be this business, because it's the same thing kind of like with acting or singing, anything like that. I find that a lot of artists are afraid to say no because they're afraid that that'll be taken as a negative thing. You know, someone will be like, oh, she said no, so they're not a good person, or I won't work with them again. They must be difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can think
And the other thing is, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was listening to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. I was just saying I think that's why sometimes artists are afraid to say no a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. We have big hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want people to perceive you in a certain way. There you go. There's another example, you know. But sometimes I've learned from my friends, you know, who are in the business, you know, and I've learned a lot from them that, you know, sometimes you have to be that way. You have to say no because it's like people will take advantage of you and they'll wear you down, and you can't let that happen.
Yeah, or you'll wear yourself thin by saying yes to too many things at once, which
exactly.
is a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can't give your all, and then people are only seeing like 50% of you, and that's not good either.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
People got to see Melissa B at 100%, full blast.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What's been the one thing in your life that you're most proud of?
I think about, I guess, being my parents' child.
Aww.
I'm a product of my parents' love and a product of a being that they, you know, brought in this world. And I'm able to show something that, you know, that they put together.
Oh, now you're getting all deep again. You're going to make me tear up and cry.
That's true. For bringing me in this world. They really, you know, my mother is Puerto Rican, my father's African American. My parents went through a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and my dad, you know, my mom and my dad didn't come from, you know, silver spoons in their mouth. They went to the military to provide a better life for themselves, and in turn they found each other, and then they had children, they married each other, and they wanted the best for their children, and they instilled in us, you know, that you can accomplish anything in life. And I'm one of their greatest accomplishments. I'm one of their treasures. And I love that.
Oh. That's so sweet.
Well, thank you.
My dad was in the military, too. Oh, my God, that's so weird.
Yeah, you're their treasure, too.
Oh,
yeah. You're the treasure, you know?
Yeah, we'll leave that for the book.
Hey, this is what, you know, like when people ask me, why do I call my fans my gems? It means
mm-hmm.
God's enlightened musical soul. That's what it means.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
God's enlightened musical souls. That's what we all are.
So I get to be your gem?
You are. Yes.
Oh, yay. So Lady Gaga has her monsters and you have your gems. I think I prefer
That's
the
right.
gems.
I do too. Who wouldn't want to be a gem? I wouldn't want to be a monster.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. People would be like, oh.
Yeah, but hey, teach its own. I love Lady Gaga, you know?
I
love her.
She's great. I'd rather be a gem.
Yeah.
I want to sparkle and look pretty.
Yes.
What's upcoming for you?
I'm actually in the works of working on a music lyric video that is combined as one. I'm actually in the works of creating the very first lyric video created with Google Glass.
Oh.
So, yeah. And that's all I'm going to say. But I'm doing it with the song called It's Real that me and B. Howard wrote together, that he produced.
See, you really are combining two loves of music and technology. I love that.
Yeah, I do. I really do. And I've, you know what my dream is?
What?
I would love to be one of the very, well, I'm pretty sure that some other artists have probably spoke at it, but I would like to be one of the artists to actually speak at the engineer's dinner at the Grammys. I would like to be one of those people to actually do that. I want to do that.
Well, I know it's going to happen. It'll happen.
Yeah. You know, because it's like, I'm actually, my engineer, Michael, he's going to start teaching me how to do Pro Tools. It's like, he's like, you know computers so well, you don't even know how to run Pro Tools. And I'm like, this is so bad. Because I'm like, but I'm in the booth. He's like, yeah, but when I'm not around, he's like, how are you going to, you know, do certain things when you need to record? And I'm, and I thought about it and I said, you know what? It would be good if I'm Michael's pupil. And that he teaches me so that when I need vocals, when I need to record and I have ideas on my own, that I can do it. And I'm not just rely on GarageBand all the time. So that's something I'm working on too. So I'm working on lessons with Michael. I'm working on, you know, lyric video, my video. I'm going to be working on a music video for Breathe.
Oh, so excited.
Yeah, and the guy that actually is going to be doing it, I can't go there right now, but it's supposed to be in Baltimore, Maryland. Unfortunately, there's things going on in Baltimore, Maryland that I just can't go. But there's crazy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to figure that out. And I've been working with my friend Seven Giselle. She's working on her new album, her very first one. So I'm working with her creatively. And she's helping me creatively as well on my stuff. So it's like two singers working together. We're good friends, and she's a spiritual sister. She is my soul sister. Let me tell you, this woman is amazing. Yeah,
I can't wait to hear
when
her
I tell
stuff.
You. Yeah, she's when I tell you she is so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seven. When I hear Seven stuff, like Seven, she's actually from Germany.
Oh.
She's Turkish and Mongolian. You know, a mixture, and she's just like, when I met her, it's just something about her. And then when we did, when we got into our crew, Mixed Native Collective, together, her and I just immediately clicked. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever. And it's like, her and I are like two peas in a pod, you know.
Oh.
She literally is my spiritual sister. And, yeah, she's great. But
I can't wait to hear
her stuff.
On. I'm so excited about listening to new people. That's like something I do a lot. I'll search the internet for people I've never heard of just to listen to some new music.
Oh, and there's one more person I'm working with, Felicia Temple. Oh my goodness, she's an R&B diva. Woo!
Oh.
I can't wait to put you on to her. Oh my goodness. Help me, Lord.
Send me links to all their stuff. I want to
listen. Oh, I am. I will. Let me tell you something. Felicia Temple, woo, she's going to take me to another level. Teaching me. Woo!
Oh, my Lord. I can already picture you doing an album called The Diva Comes Out or something like that.
Oh.
You just let it go.
Yeah. It's gonna be monumental when I go there. You know, I got to get out of my shell. There's a certain shell that I have to get out of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, "Oh, Melissa, you're so cute, blah blah blah," you know. But there's a sensual side to me that I've you get a little scared because you're like, "Oh my God, I don't want anybody to think anything bad of me." But there's a side of me that has to be shown. You know, the sensual side of me that I want to create an EP, you know, an R&B, just straight R&B songs and just singing, you know.
That'd be great.
About love and life. Yeah.
Yeah, I've learned recently you got to do stuff you're scared of. You just got to go out there and do it, and who cares what people say.
Yeah, trust me, you're about to, you'll see it, you'll be seeing it evolve, you'll be like, Melissa!
Mm-hmm. Ew, look at Melissa, she's banging that song. I love to see people at their best. I love to see people push boundaries and do stuff that they might not otherwise do. I love it. Because that's usually when they create the best stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, it looks like we're just about out of time, so I can't believe it's gone by so fast.
I know.
I was like, oh.
I know. Well, if you want another interview with me, we'll do it again. I love talking with you, Ryan.
Me too. It's been great. Thank you so much, Melissa, for agreeing to be a guest here on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I hope I gave you an earful. I hope I gave you,
you did,
a little bit of laughter and crying and, you know, love and you know, spiritual connectiveness. I hope so.
I did. I feel like I just came from church, and I feel all good. I feel all good, cleansed out. I'm good.
I love it. Well, we got to
Pastor
tell,
Melissa
we tell
B,
our,
just
gotta,
help me.
We got to tell our G people about it so that they can hear the whole thing. I think they'll love it.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, I know you got to go because you've got to get to your studio time that you've got booked.
Yeah.
For today.
Yeah, an hour from now. Mhm.
Oh, well, you do good today, and thank you again, Melissa, for being a guest.
No problem. Thank you, Ryan, for inviting me. I greatly appreciate it. And if anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, follow me as Melissa B Live. If you want to find me on Snapchat, Melissa B Live. So MelissaB Live. And if you want to find me on my YouTube, go Melissa B Music. And just go to my website, MelissaB.com. There you go.
And she will talk back with you.
I will. I always do. I try.
Yes. She loves talking with people. So if you guys have a question or you want to say something, feel free to reach out.
One more thing. I forgot.
No problem.
I've been working with Wesley from Netherlands, who has basically created Melissa B's signature shades. And if you go on MelissaB.com, you'll see it says Fab Me Jewelry. Everybody for this month, whoever orders them, they get 25% off on the glasses.
Ooh.
So they're like, and you get your name written in it. Your own name and 3D printed, so it's your own custom made glasses. It's really cool.
Ooh, so everybody check that out, MelissaB.com. Get yourself a nice looking pair of shades.
Shades, yeah. And there's so many other things that he has, you know, jewelry-wise. But we're going to be coming with the Melissa B. Signature jewelry line, 3D printed. And that's a part of technology with me.
Oh, that'll be great. See, you're using technology in everything. I love it.
Thank you.
I do. I really do. I love it. I'm so not a technology person, so I just love stuff that people can create using technology nowadays. It just blows my mind. I'm always like, how the heck did they come up with that?
Yo, 3D printing is like the best thing since sliced bread. I love it. 3D printing. I mean, I could 3D print shoes out if I wanted to. I could create shoes and have it printed out. It's the greatest thing ever. And it's been, and now it's available to the masses. And you can create and you can become design your own things that is not possible. You know, they did an actual dress for Dita Von Teese, and oh my God, it was the first ever 3D printed dress, and they had all these crystals on it. Oh my God, to die for.
Oh.
Die for.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done with my spiel. Gotta go.
You take care, Melissa, and we'll see you later.
Okay, Ryan. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. And that was the fabulous Melissa B. here on Ryan's Corner. And I hope that everybody will tune in next week on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where my special guest will be Mr. Ram Ramaker. And we'll be discussing his music as well as some of his books that he's written. So that should be interesting. My name is Ryan Cole, the host of Ryan's Corner, and I'll see you guys next time. Take care.